Good to see all of you this morning. Great to have visitors with us today. Glad that you are here. Great to see the church family together. Amen. We have what kind of a father? A good father. We have a good Savior. God is good. And we celebrate Him. Today we are continuing our studies in the book of 1 Peter. We are up to chapter 3, and I want to encourage you to turn there with us today. We've been doing a series on 1 Peter, starting at the beginning and working our way through it. I was asked why I skipped that last section. Well, for those of you who remember, we did early section about submissiveness about 6 or 8 weeks ago. And so I didn't skip it. I just dealt with it at the very beginning. So if you want to go on to our church webpage, you can see, you can hear podcasts. If you go to Facebook and look us up, you can see videos of the sermons. And so I invite you to do so. Life hasn't been easy here lately, has it? You know, we are all aware of all the troubles, all the problems that seem to be surrounding us. This past year has been a roller coaster ride of changes of activities and lifestyles, things that plague our days. People have been struggling with work, with health, with everything that we were used to doing. We have to be careful and find new ways of doing it. And we're still leery about it. Any of you still leery sometimes? Yeah. About where to go, what to do. Unrest seems to plague us. It is plaguing our major cities. You've watched the news. Even in our local communities, there are issues that are frustrating and upsetting. Add to that the challenges of your personal employment, your family life, your relatives, working with your neighbors, your personal health. Man, where does it end? Worry and fear seem to dominate everything. But you know what? We're not the first ones to go through the challenges of life. We look back through biblical history, just a few of them I mentioned quite often. The days of Noah, Scripture says the thoughts of men were evil continually. Could you imagine living in a world where there's nothing good happening? We can look around and we can find some blessings around us, can't we? Yes, there are some good things, but to live in a world where nothing is going good, that everything is evil. The days of Noah were rough on him and his family. Look at the story of Joseph. Joseph, son number 11, 12 older brothers, and they all hated his guts. They did not like Joseph in the least. And he was abused. They plotted to kill him. Instead, they thought, well, let's make some money off this little brat. And they sold him into slavery. Then he was falsely accused of molesting a woman, which wasn't true. He got thrown into prison. He was neglected. And then finally deliverance, because God was still watching over him. Becoming the second in command of the entire nation of Egypt. And when his brothers showed up during the famine and he revealed himself, they thought, oh no, we're going to die. And what was Joseph's response? In Genesis chapter 50, God meant it for good. God meant it for good. God worked through all of the struggles, all the challenges of his life. And brought him through. God was still with him. He kept his faith, hung in there. And God used him to not only deliver all of Egypt from the famine, but his own family. And then they moved in according to the prophecy that God gave to Abraham. And they lived there for hundreds of years. Of course, the Egyptians really loved the Israelites, right? Wrong. They became fearful of them, enslaved them, and caused all the families to throw all their male babies into the river to kill their own children. And through providence, God spared who? Moses. Moses came through it all, became a stepson in the house of Pharaoh, tried to deliver the people at age 40. He blew it. He didn't do it God's way. He went off and pouted for 40 years. And at 80 years, God came knocking. I've got a job for you, Moses. No, no, you got the wrong guy. Not me. Yes, it's you. No, yes, no, yes, no. And God used Moses to set free his people as he had prophesied hundreds of years previous, saying this, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard, have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. That's Exodus chapter 3. We are blessed with the fact that Moses recorded God's law, Old Testament law, Mosaic law is what we refer to it quite often. God's perfect law that he wanted his people to live by. And we still live by many of the principles of the Mosaic law. Our judicial system is founded upon Mosaic law. A lot of people don't understand that, don't realize that. But Mosaic law is the foundation for good judicial process. Moses went on, the nation of Israel went on. We could look at other stories. One of my favorite verses, Romans 8:28, maybe your favorite verse as well, assures us, we know that God causes all things to work together for what? Good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Today, I invite you to focus on the principles of think and do good. Think and do good. In a world of woe and trouble, God calls for us to be light in the darkness. God calls for us to be ambassadors of hope. God calls for us to be a reflection of himself. And God is what? Good. And God wants us to be good. It starts in our mind and it must flow into our life. Several of our scripture texts will be on the screen today. So every time that we come to the word good, guess what I want you to do? I want to say it with me. Say it with me. Over and over again throughout scriptures, we find the word good. Now, I mentioned we've been going through the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and some of you are going to say, today's text, that looks awful familiar. That's because we did go over it last week. But we looked at a different aspect of these verses 8 through 12 last week about inheriting the promises that God wants us to have. So let's read along here, and I think I've got it up on the screen, so we're going to give our girls in the booth a workout today. Okay. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. You want to inherit a blessing? Amen? So we need to be doing these things. Now here we have a quote from Psalm chapter 34 in the next few verses. For the one who desires life to love and see good days, hey, you're right in there, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We want to inherit the blessing. We do good. If we want to receive a curse, destruction, God's wrath? Well, just follow the world. It's your choice. It's up to you. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your scriptures, your directions, clear instructions on how you want us to live. And Father, we thank you that you are gracious and forgiving, helping us in our times when we fail to do what's right, we fail to do what's righteous, what's good. Father, help us to realize our failures, our weaknesses, to turn to you, to find your help, your strength, your good spirit to help us speak to our hearts, and that we would listen and obey. We thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the freedom to gather. We thank you for your scriptures of truth. And greatest of all, we thank you that Jesus has paid the price of our sin fully, completely. And through him, we have full redemption. Let us walk faithfully with Jesus in his steps, with him leading us and guiding us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have 3 points that I want to cover this morning as we look at this passage. We consider these verses and other verses that go along with it. The very first point that I want to make is our God and our Savior are good. If we haven't caught that yet, that's the point of our message today. God and our Savior, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, they are good. They are the ones who give us the standard to live by. If we want something that is pleasing and good for a long time, we look to God, our Savior, the Spirit, for direction. Goodness is a part of the nature and the very character of God, and we must look to Him, Almighty God, in all the characteristics. Many, many verses in the Scripture tell us these qualities and talk about the goodness of God. The first one is Psalm 106, verse 1 and 2, and be following along there. Be ready to shout it out. Amen? No sleeping today. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, or can show forth all his praise? Now that last part, we start off, God is good. But what does that last part bring up? You know, our good God is better than what we can describe. He is so much more than what we have experienced. God is not just limited to our little world. God is working through the entire world, through all of time, through eternity, performing his good will. Can you describe all of that? You know, the Apostle John said, writing down the life of Jesus, he said, we can't even write down everything that Jesus did. We can't write down everything. It would take an ocean of ink to write down all the goodness that Jesus did while he lived those 33 years on the earth. And we expect to describe our good God in a sentence. We haven't experienced all the good that there is of our God. He deserves praise. He is worthy of praise. We cannot describe. We are only familiar with a smidgen of the goodness of God. But boy, is it good. It is good. Imagine enjoying the very presence of the Almighty, away from evil and sin and corruption. Recorded in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and following is the account where a rich young man comes to Jesus and asks Jesus, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he was wanting an answer, but Jesus starts off his response in verse 17 with kind of a correction. And we probably need to pay attention to that correction to begin with. And we have these words. Jesus responds, and he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? Now, why are you asking me about what is good? Do you know who you're talking to? There is only one who is good. Of course, Jesus was referring to God. In this case, pointing to the Father, because this is the focus of the man who's asking the question. What do I need to do to please God? In his mind, he was thinking the Father, I assume, in the conversation. The founder of all good. What is it that God is pleased with? Of course, Jesus continues on there. You need to keep all the commandments and do these things. Oh, I've done all those things in the mind of the man. And Jesus looked into his heart and he said, there's one thing you need to do. Go sell all your possessions. Give it to the poor and come follow me. Oh, that was the clincher, wasn't it? That was the clincher. To follow Jesus wherever he went. He wasn't quite ready for that much goodness. Are we? We claim we are, but we need to really examine our hearts and pursue the goodness of God. We follow the good teacher. How far? During a teaching episode recorded in John chapter 10, Jesus used a familiar analogy of the culture. He started using the story of how a shepherd takes care of his sheep. You're familiar with the story, I'm sure. If you're not, I would encourage you to go read John chapter 10. Jesus explains in verse 10 and 11, should be up on the screen, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Whoa. What is Jesus saying there? Previously, talking to the rich man, he said, only God is good. Now Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I've heard some people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. What? Haven't you read the book of John? Haven't you read your New Testament? Jesus, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus repeats these qualities in verse 14. And the promises there are that he will care for each of his sheep personally. He knows every detail about every one of his sheep. Who are the sheep? His followers. Are you a follower? Amen? He cares about us. He knows so much about it, and he wants to give us life. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is part of the message of the Apostle Peter that he shared with Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a Gentile. He was a Roman centurion at this point, but he was a believer in God. He had been in the country for a number of years, evidently, because when Peter comes and speaks to him, led by the Spirit, through vision, if you remember the account, you can go back there and read it if you're not familiar. The Roman centurion had been pursuing God, wanting to please God, and God sent the Apostle Peter to him. And Peter realizes this centurion has been around a while. And here is his response to the centurion there in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You know... Okay, this was not a secret. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You've heard the stories. You may have seen some of the results. And the centurion is right there. Peter further explained that Jesus was the crucified one who has conquered the grave. Amen. And he did it for who? For us. And for all people. Jesus is still that good shepherd. The Lord who gives life. The Lord who gives healing to all who would come to him. And praise God, Cornelius and his household became believers and servants of Jesus. The Apostle John reminds us in his third epistle, not the Gospel of John, but 1st, 2nd, 3 John, which is only one chapter, verse 11, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil is not, has not seen God." Interesting. Have you seen God? Through the scripture? Through the example of others who have surrendered to Jesus? God in them? The reflection of God? You know, the scripture Galatians talks about us putting on Jesus Christ. Do people see Jesus, God, through us? We could not survive if we physically, literally saw the face of God. Scripture is very clear about that. But we should be seeing evidence of God all around us. And doing what? Imitating those characteristics in our own lives. If we are followers of God, we will imitate Him. If we don't imitate Him, we're imitating the other father, the devil, the prince of death, the destroyer. Scripture wants us, God wants us to be good people because He is good. Our Savior wants us to be good because He is good. We need to learn from them, imitate them. Second point, God wants all people to learn and to do good, not just those that go to church, not those that sit at home and read their Bibles. God wants all people. We are all His creation. We are all made in His image. Psalm chapter 14 opens with two reminders that due to our sin in our lives, we got an issue. There is no one who does good, not even one. In ourself, just me by myself, I'm not capable of doing what is good. Because I have what? Sin. I have broken God's rules, broken God's commands, His plan, His path. It only took one, and I don't want to number them all. I don't think any of you want to make a list either. Fortunately, God is gracious and forgiving for those who will humble themselves before Him. But in ourselves, there's not a single one of us who does any good. That is in verse 1 and verse 3 of Psalm chapter 14. Then the psalm reminds us that God is a refuge to those who put their trust and obedience in Him. Now, the psalms, a lot of the psalms are short, aren't they? We had the entire Psalm 100 read this morning by Brother Ted. A lot of the psalms are short psalms. I would encourage you to continue reading on to chapter 16, Psalm chapter 16, because there we have another reference to our God who is good and to the fact that, read along with me and shout it out, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in Thee. I said to the Lord, Thou art my Lord, I have no good besides Thee." I am not good, but God in me makes me what? Good. God sent Isaiah to warn the rebellious children of Israel who strayed so many times away from God. And God wanted them to be His children, pure and holy, to turn back to His ways. The book of Isaiah is a long plea with the nation of Israel for God's people to come back to Him. Starting in chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." He's referring to white sheep, by the way. God continues in that passage and through the book that all who would walk with Him will be forgiven, will be blessed, will be given life. But if they continued in their rebellious nature, they would be destroyed. It's black and white. You're for me or against me. No in-between ground. Can't walk the fence. When I was growing up as a kid, we had a lot of rail fences, 2x8 board fences. And my sister and I loved to go out and see if we could stay on the boards. Don't ask me to do it now. We like to walk the fences. A lot of people like to try to walk the fence. You're going to fall off. And usually it's on the wrong side. Be committed to God. He wants you fully committed. In Romans chapter 12, it gives us some good directions on how to live our life as a living sacrifice for the living God, pleasing to God. And we're commanded in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We have to learn to overcome evil, the bad stuff that's happening, with good. When we do good, we follow the example of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who walked this earth. We follow the example of God the Father. And we allow the Holy Spirit, who is good, to bear fruit within us. And we've been playing this little thing the last several weeks. Have you memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23 yet? One of the qualities, characteristics of the Spirit is what? Goodness. Goodness. Living a good life. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Sorry, I'll stop. The battle of choices begins in our mind. It begins in our mind. And so we are taught to direct our mental focus, to get our mind on the right things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 gives us one of these passages that is an excellent one to keep in our thoughts in the middle of a world that's going all wrong. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if it's a good story, it's a good thinking, good thing to think about. If there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. If you're listening to the news, that's kind of hard to do, isn't it? So sometimes you need to just turn the switch off or change the channel, find something else to get your mind on what is good. All who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ have been raised in Christ to walk in life, in goodness, and to think like Him. We will battle sin and we will battle evil with more evil and more sin? No, with goodness, with righteousness, with godly things, with that which is good. God wants all of us to learn to think and do good. And then not to just learn it, not to just think about it. The third point, God wants all people to practice doing good. Practice, 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 practice. How much do we like to practice? I've been told I should exercise. As you can see, I haven't. How about God's Word? Do we practice God's Word? Paul follows up his instruction of thinking back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, with the next verse. Verse 9 usually comes after 8. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Why? and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if you don't want peace, if you don't want all the good things, all the blessings of life, then don't practice. But if we want God's blessings, all God's goodness, we must practice the goodness of God. From what we see in others, what we see in the Apostle Paul, other writers of the Scripture, your parents, your neighbors, your children, whoever it is, when we see good things being done, we need to put that into our lifestyle as well. Jesus expects us to follow his example of goodness. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Wow. Is that easy? No, it's not easy, but it is God's way. It's the good way. It's the righteous way. He then gives us the golden rule in verse 31. Now, most of the world has it in backward, do unto others before they do it to you. Yeah, you've experienced that? Hurt them before they hurt you? My sister and I kind of grew up with that rule when we were little. Boy, that was painful. We finally learned, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We get along pretty good now. How about the people around you that hurt you, harm you? Do we think up things, oh, well, if I could just get even? Or do we think, how can I bless them? And that doesn't stop there. Jesus continues to give further instruction in verse 33. We've got that on the screen. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same thing. What he's saying there is, if you're just maintaining equality, you put out my trash can, okay, I'll put out yours. You carried mine in, okay, I'll carry yours in. We just maintaining a balance. A lot of people do that, but that's not living righteously. That's not living by God's standards. Continuing on to verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Where does everything come from? For all people, it comes from God. God pours out his blessings on the good and the evil, the ungrateful, the corrupt. We are to follow his example. Our Lord finishes his commands with his assurance. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. Who's taking care of us? God is, and God is good. He will not forsake us. He will take care of us. The Apostle Paul reassures us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are especially supposed to treat each other with goodness, but it doesn't stop at the door, doesn't stop with the list of church members. It must flow on, it must flow on. The Apostle Peter has reminded us that our good God is searching for people who will follow his example. we need to take to heart the warning of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 from our beginning text, and let us turn away from evil and do good. So as we prepare to face the coming days, the coming hours, maybe the coming minutes for some of you who are facing challenges, get your mind, and let's all get our minds on thinking the way God wants us to think. To shine through with God's love, God's goodness. And remember, when things appear to be going really bad, God can make them for good. There was a policeman who arrived on the scene of an auto accident. He'd been called to it. And the first thing he saw was a horrible sight on the inside of the windshield, smashed all over the windshield, and his heart just broke. He called for emergency vehicles to come, and he quickly ran up to the vehicle, and he poked his head in the window, and he saw the driver sitting there and said, "Are you okay? Are you hurt? Are you all right?" And the man said, "I'm fine, but this pizza, I don't think we can save it." On a more serious note, during the second missionary of the Apostle Paul, Paul took along with him Silas. They went to Philippi. Philippi, they were doing good things. They were preaching the word, sharing the message of hope and life with Jesus. And what was the result? They healed, cast out a demon out of a girl, and made the village mad. And they were taken, beaten unmercifully, scourged, thrown into jail. And for us, in our minds, you think, what good can come out of that? Well, if you remember the story, Paul and Silas were singing and praising God in the middle of the night. And God delivered them. An earthquake came, broke all the chains loose. Not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners were loose. And the jailer woke up and he thought, man, I'm dead meat. Because the jailer was responsible for all of his prisoners, his life for theirs if they were gone. And Paul shouts out, don't kill yourself. We're all here. We're all here. And through the process, what happened? The jailer and his household became believers in Jesus Christ and received eternal life. Good things can come out of bad things. All things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So when things go bad, God's got a plan. We don't always understand. We all don't always understand or know what's going to happen. But if we let God work through it, good things will come of it. You've got to maintain your faith in God. Our good God wants us to walk in goodness. But we can only do that by obeying the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with, putting on Jesus Christ, letting His Spirit come into our life. Scriptures clearly tell us that we need to be buried into Christ, renewed through Jesus Christ, have our sins washed away, that we begin walking in the new life that Jesus has for us. And if you have not followed through with those directions, we would really want to help you, encourage you to be obedient to Jesus. If you have any questions about that, please come talk to myself. We have four elders. They'd be glad to visit with you. Maybe you know another Christian who you want to ask some questions. But get your life straight with Jesus so that you can walk in God's goodness with Jesus Christ. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You that You are good. That You enable us to be good in a world of rottenness, corruption, evil. Let us stand out as Your good people, not because of us, but because of what Jesus Christ has done in us and through us, transforming us. Let us put on Jesus Christ fully and completely as Your transformed people until the day Jesus returns. Let us raise Your name and the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. God bless you.